There are things that we experience but never talk about. A shadow moving in a corner. Flickering of the lights. A disembodied voice. We invite you to talk with us. Share your story. Share your evidence. Because this isn't just your story. This is our story. This is Ghost Box Radio.
And this is Ghost Box Radio on AM 950, where every week we talk about the paranormal, ufology, Bigfoot, or just the unusual. My name is Greg Bakken, and thank you very much for joining me today. You know, I hope everyone is staying cool out there in the heat. You know, I joke about it every week about how hot it is, but, you know, we really do need to take care of ourselves out there, especially when it's so easy to get dehydrated, to get overheated. I mean, just that whole, let alone sunburn, but everything else that goes along with it, you got to be careful. And, you know, this is the time of year, you know, when it's always the flip side, right? When it's winter, that you got to check on your loved ones, when it's cold and everything. But it's the same that be said when it comes to the heat. You know, you got to check on your loved one, especially those who need assistance, the elderly, especially your pets. If you're walking your dogs out there, make sure that you have those little pads that go on their paws so they don't burn themselves. You know, I know all of you know this, but, you know, as we're getting into August in particular, you know, it's going to get worse and worse. But, you know, as hopefully most of you either have air conditioning or have a way of staying cool. And of course, I say this on a day that isn't overly hot. I'm looking right now and it says 74 degrees, but you know it's going to get hot again. It's going to get hot again real soon. So just take care of yourselves. That's all I'm trying to say here. Now, some time ago, I was put into contact with someone who works as a caregiver at a hospice. This is where loved ones' journeys end, and these caregivers are there to make that transition as comfortable and painless as possible, not just for the patients, but also for the families. It's a tough job and emotionally demanding. So this caregiver that I was put into contact with wanted to share some of the paranormal and spiritual encounters that she and others have experienced at the hospice she worked at in other places as well. These stories are not meant to be creepy or scary, but rather documenting what happens. I guess what I'm really trying to say here is I'm not trying to sensationalize this topic, okay? Seeing the transition from life to death, leaving the body, do these spirits linger? What sort of toll does it take on the caregivers? My guest today is going to remain anonymous, and we're not sharing her name, we're protecting her privacy, but we're going to hear her story, and I'm really happy that we're able to share this. So I'm bringing her on now, and welcome to Ghostbox Radio.
Thanks for having me on the air.
My pleasure. And I'd like to invite all of our listeners to join into the conversation. To do so, to ask a question related to hospice hauntings, or even if you want to share a story yourself, you can call in 952-946-6205. That's 952-946-6205. You can email us a comment or question. The email address for the station is comment@am950radio.com. We're live on AM 950 Radio, but also streaming video on the following Facebook pages. You can watch us on AM 950, Things Network, MN Ghostbox, Free Spirited Network, RU Media, Skeleton Key Network, and Temple of Phoenix Rising Entertainment. So please go there and support those pages too. Feel free to leave questions on any of those pages you're watching as I'm monitoring those comments there as well. So, you know, I guess it's when you and I first started talking about this, you know, there's something that I think we all on the outside, especially in the paranormal, would think that this is probably a no-brainer that this sort of thing happens. But the fact of the matter is, kind of wading through your stories that you've prepared and whatnot, this is this is really very profound. And I guess my question to you to start with is, what kind of effect does this have on you mentally?
I think when I first became a nurse that I didn't really believe in the paranormal. I you know, we all heard ghost stories as kids, and I just didn't think anything of it. But as I got into nursing, so many nurses especially will tell stories. Oh, when this person died, this happened or whatever. And so you're kind of eased into it by their stories. But when it actually happens to you, I was pretty freaked out by what I had just witnessed. And so it kind of opened my mind to a world outside of the world we live in.
Yeah, I mean, and it doesn't take much, does it, to get people to believe in the paranormal when they're faced with it, does it? I mean, and the thing is that we're going to learn today that you don't have like one time that you've encountered this. This has been everywhere you go. And I do want to point out that when you tell the stories, it's more than one place that this stuff has affected you and you've seen.
Yeah, and I've worked in different fields of nursing. Hospice has been my niche, per se, where I've been in the longest. But I've worked a little in psych and a little in long-term care and now hospice. And all of those areas, we've had something happen, whether I've witnessed it or a colleague has witnessed it and told me stories. But every field that I've been in, it's happened. And I think it's because when you work in healthcare, you're so close to that person's life, and you realize how fragile things really are.
Do you think that there's any time that you are getting, and we're going to get to some of your stories here in a second, but do you think there's any time that you are being that these spirits are reaching out to you just simply to let you know that they're okay?
I think so, just because of what has happened. I mean, patients have told me stuff. Like, patients have stated that spirits have came in with me and told me that they have seen them with me. I do think they're somewhat drawn to me. Not just being ultra ego. I think it's just the profession I'm in and how you're identified. Even in the afterlife, they identify you as someone that helps.
Yeah. I think that's a great thought with that, because it would be, I mean, you are – and if you're looking at the hospice side of it and beyond, I'm sure that you are the most recent person to give a damn about them.
Yeah.
And it, you know, there's some of the stories might intimate that maybe some of these people only had you to give a damn about. And so it's interesting. Why don't we start with something? And I might cut you off only to get to a commercial break, but then we can resume. Just so you know. But take your time with it. And do you want to start us off with one?
Yeah. So I work in hospice. I've probably sat with hundreds of dying patients. Pretty much every hospice kind of has the same deal where we don't want anyone to die alone, because that's incredibly sad and it's a scary time for them. So I've been in all kinds of areas where the patient has no family to the patient has lots of family, but they're exhausted and they need someone to sit with them. But I'll never forget, I was sitting with a guy and he was older, but he had a lot of family and he came home with a lot of pain and he had a lot of complex medications. So they had actually sat me as a nurse at bedside, and it was probably about 9 o'clock or so. And I told the family, why don't you lay down? I don't think he's going to pass tonight. So I had kind of scooted my chair up to his bedside and had been kind of conversating with him throughout the night. And he was really restless, wanting a cigarette, wanting out of bed, wanting to get up, just real restless all night. And patients often get that. It's termed terminal restlessness.
Okay.
So I had been kind of talking him down. So it was early hours when all of the paranormal stuff kind of happened. I want to say it was like 2 or 3 in the morning. The house was dark. He had been settled for a while, and all of a sudden he started talking. And so I thought he was talking to me, and so I was responding back. And he looks at me and he says, "Will you shut up?" And I said, "Well, I thought you were talking to me." And he said, "I'm talking to Jesus. Can't you see him over there?" "You're being so rude and interrupting us." And I looked over to the corner he was looking in, and, you know, it was like instantly I could almost feel that something was there. You could kind of see light. It was lighter in that part of the room, and it just felt lighter in the room. And so I was quiet, and he finished talking to Jesus, and it was probably about 30 minutes later that he closed his eyes and passed. But, you know, all night long, he had been so restless until that happened. And, you know, some people aren't believers, and I'm not trying to make anyone a believer, but man, that really felt like Jesus was there.
Well, especially if you could feel something, right? Something was over there. And I just kind of reminds me of when my mom was, she hadn't been in hospice yet, but there was a couple days that she had decided that she was going to forego any of the medications and stuff. And when we would visit her, and she'd just be like, her mom and dad were there. She would tell us this, and, you know, isn't that the weird part of it? Of like, is that just hallucination? Is that real? You know, because for some reason, I believe the Jesus one much more than I do my mom seeing her parents, because it just seemed like hallucinatory, but maybe it wasn't. And that's comforting though, too, isn't it? To think that someone's going to come to you and be either, I mean, heck, you can't get much higher than Jesus, quite frankly. I mean, that's not bad. So why don't we do this? I want to take my break early, if that's okay, because I have some questions that people have, and then we can get on to more stories. So let's take our first break. When we come back, we're going to continue our conversation about spirit and paranormal encounters at hospice and other medical facilities. You're listening to Ghost Box Radio on AM 950. Are you dreading Mondays, hating life, and living for the weekends? It might be time for some changes. Pamela Topchian is a board-certified hypnotherapist at hypnobreakthrough.com, and she can help. Consultations, well, they're always free. And you'll also receive a complimentary sample session to try it out. Get in touch with hypnobreakthrough.com or send a message on social media to Hypno Breakthrough or Pamela Marie Topchian. And someone on the on Facebook has said that they used her. I mean, she does have such a calming voice, and I've used her before too. I've worked with her. It's fantastic. I just love her voice. So calming, so refreshing, where mine is kind of like someone walking over broken glass. So, you know, trust me, you heard the commercial, you know that it's going to be calming and wonderful, and it's very, very helpful. Now, welcome back to Ghost Box Radio on AM 950. My name is Greg Bakken, and thank you for joining us. Today, we're talking with a hospice caregiver who prefers to remain anonymous. We are talking about hospice hauntings and other medical locations, spirit encounters, and when the soul leaves the body. I do have a couple questions. Well, I have a lot of questions that have come through. Do you mind taking some of them?
That's fine.
Okay. So let me start with this. Lisa on Facebook, and folks, you can also call in 952-946-6205 if you like. Don't be shy. Lisa asks, is it common for those who are in hospice to experience visits by loved ones who had previously passed? Did you ever encounter one of your clients telling you of past loved ones experiencing that? So you did kind of answer that. Well, I mean, I don't know if Jesus was related to him, but did that question make sense? Did I brutalize that? Okay.
Yeah, almost every patient that I've had, if they're verbal at the end, has told me that loved ones come to get them. Usually, you know, we've gotten to where we'll ask if they've seen their mom and dad yet, because it's common for people to see their parents. And a lot of them will talk to them a long time before. So a week or so leading up to their death, they will talk about different loved ones that have passed on before them coming to visit and talking to them or telling them they're getting ready to go home.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
The patients usually say, I'm getting ready to go home. I just got to go. Mom has been here. You know, we get that a lot. Usually it's mom and dad that you get. And I've had some people say their brother has come or their sister has come, but generally it's mom and dad seem to come and get them.
It's really interesting because, you know, I didn't have a lot of experience in that area and just really with, more with my mom. My dad passed suddenly. So what you're saying really mirrors what I ran into before mom started being she stopped being communicative with us because it just did the whatever took her over and she laid basically in a coma for about a week before she passed. But, you know, some of her last lucid days were the same sort of thing. I want to go home. She'd always also say green, green grass of home. And so that is really very interesting. Tara had asked if apart from sighting from like Jesus, have you heard of anyone seeing angels or anything?
Yeah, and that's funny she says that because that's another thing. My best friend, she works in hospice too. And she had taught me that part of our job was to find out how close somebody was to dying so that they wouldn't die alone. So she said, well, I always ask them if they've seen the angels yet. And so I kind of adopted that into what I would ask patients when I go in. Have you seen the angels yet? Has your parents came to visit you? And we would kind of use that as a judge. People that hadn't seen their parents yet or hadn't seen the angels, we kind of knew that they had a little bit more time. But one time I went in and I asked them, have you seen the angels yet? And the patient said, yes. I'm like, oh, are they coming to take you home? She's like, no, they came in with you.
Wow.
I said, they came in with me. She's like, yeah, they came in with you. And I'm like, oh, are they coming to visit you? They just came with me. And she's like, no, they're with you.
Oh, wow. Oh, interesting.
I was kind of panicked, but my best friend, she was like, well, maybe that's why we don't have car wrecks or anything bad happen to us because the angels travel with us.
Right, exactly. Well, here's a question. I was going to say, here's a question. And Adam, do you mind if I bring you in on this part of it?
Go right ahead.
Because you had talked to me a little bit earlier about, if you don't mind, about some of your experience and that there was something that when you volunteered, something always would happen that would kind of signal that someone was going to pass, right?
So, yeah, my mother used to work at a facility for mentally challenged children, and they would be there, a lot of them from birth all the way up to death. Most of the time they would, you know, die within their 20s and 30s. So you had folks that were there 20, 30 years. But the weird thing was every time there would be deaths, they would always come in threes where my mom would work.
Mm-hmm.
But the most telling signal that someone or the groups were about to start going, they would be in what was called a day room or a feeding room. And there'd be about 4 to 5 of the nurses or QMAs in there feeding 15 to 20 of the children that were in the facility. And they would have it on, let's say, the pop rock station, if you will. All of a sudden, the station would turn by itself and Conway Twitty would be on. Now, rewind that a little bit. One of the first patients that was at this facility was actually a big, big Conway Twitty fan. Actually, they would listen to it all the time, and it was one of the first people who passed at the facility after it had opened in 1978. So from there on out, through the existence of at least my mom working there through 96 and me volunteering there through 1999, whenever all of a sudden Conway Twitty would start going, you knew you were about to lose three of those wonderful patients.
And so we also were talking about another place that's attached to a haunted location called Asylum 49 that had a nursery home attached to it, and it was said there that there'd be a little girl seen every time before they knew someone was going to pass. They would see a little girl. I've also heard similar things about like a cat, so that someone would see a cat. This is probably the longest way we've ever asked a question by having guest speakers about it. But do you ever run into anything like that in your experiences? Like there was something that always happened that kind of was the prelude of a loss of life?
Not in hospice, but when I worked in long-term care, we had the residents would start, like, you knew someone was going to pass away because they'd start trying to hoard their food. They would take it to their rooms. You couldn't take their tray out. They would have a fit and they'd be restless. And, you know, when you ask them, you know, you try to take the food, they'd be like, no, we got to feed the little girl. And they all seen this little girl. And so you knew if someone saw the little girl, they were going to die. and you just didn't know how long it would be. Sometimes it was a week, sometimes it was a couple of days, but the call lights would go crazy on the night that they would be passing. Like, the patients would all be on their call lights, all very antsy and restless, and then the patient would die that night. My grandmother, who was she retired and became a CNA, which is not what people generally do,
but
that's what she did. And I was telling her about it, and she told me, oh, yeah, that always happens. She said that they know death is coming, but they don't know who it's coming for, and that's why all the patients are restless and on their call light. But I witnessed it, and several nurses, like I even said in report one time, that a patient was hoarding their food for the little girl, and they're like, oh, she's going to die. And that was before I had witnessed it. And then, sure enough, she did pass.
Wow.
So, I mean, I think that kind of stuff happens everywhere. It's strange that other places you hear about the little girl. It's not just that one facility that I was in.
Chills like nobody's business. Wow. 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 Okay. Why don't we do this? Let's take another break. When we come back, we're going to continue our conversation about spirit and paranormal encounters at hospice and other medical locations. You are listening to Ghost Box Radio on AM 950. Have you visited Enchanted Boutique recently? Lots of good stuff is going on there. So please always remember to support our friends over at Enchanted Boutique. This wonderful metaphysical store offers products such as books, candles, tarot cards, crystals, plus classes and services. I actually just moved some people. I actually recommended some people to go over to the website this week for some classes. You know, you can visit them at 1860 Beam Avenue in Maplewood, Minnesota. If you are not in Minnesota, you can still support them. Go to their Facebook page, Enchanted Boutique MN, and also their website, enchantedboutiquemn.com. You can find all the wonderful things that they have available on there. On their social media channels, I keep seeing a lot of great announcements and stuff going on, so please sign up and follow them on Facebook, see what they have going on. There's a lot of great things coming ahead, and I think that they're trying to really make sure that you have a wonderful summer and that you can spend it with them. So make sure that you support our good friends over at Enchanted Boutique. Now, Wednesday, August 3rd at 6:30 p.m., join Char Savoy and myself for an evening of sharing ghost stories, UFO sightings, and Bigfoot encounters. We call this monthly get-together Ghost Stories and Beyond, and this is all happening at Billy's Bar and Grill in Anoka, Minnesota. It's great food and atmosphere. Share your ghost stories or hear other people's experiences. It's $10 a ticket to join in. That does not include food, but they have amazing food. And over the months, we're going to have guest speakers. It's going to be a lot of fun. This is going to be monthly. So join us Wednesday, August 3rd at 6:30 p.m. at Billy's Bar and Grill in Anoka for Ghost Stories and Beyond. Also, Pair of Friends Events is back with two new events in Holton, Kansas, September 16th and September 17th at the Haunted Hotel Josephine. I'm going to be out there along with Christy to take part. And September 16th will be the Lake House, which was featured on an episode of Discovery Plus's Ghost Hunters that was done earlier this year. And September 17th is at Hotel Josephine. These two locations, let me just say, they are absolutely incredible. We were out there just a little while ago, and the activity was off the charts. I saw a full-bodied apparition. We had a lot of great activity, a lot of shadows. Somebody heard a growl, which I'm not really sure if I, you know, never know really if that's what they heard or not. But it's worth saving up and taking the road trip. Plus, if you buy overnight tickets at these events, either one of them or both, you can stay on property, which you don't have to worry about a hotel then. Check out all the details of these events by clicking on my Hotel Josephine event banner found on my show page on am950radio.com. And finally, if you miss Ghost Box Radio with Greg Bakken Live, AM 950 replays these episodes Saturday nights at 8 p.m. Central Standard Time, or you can listen anytime by going to Spotify or iTunes. After listening, please leave a positive review for my show. I greatly, greatly appreciate it. Now, today we are talking with a hospice caregiver who prefers to remain anonymous, but these stories are beautiful and incredible. We're talking about hospice haunting, spirit encounters, and when the soul leaves the body. And I have to say, one of the comments that I keep seeing all over the place is how beautiful these stories are. And I always think to myself, that's what That's what paranormal is to me. It's not about the scary stuff we see on TV. To me, it's all about these beautiful stories because it personally gives me hope. What, you know, you said that you weren't into the paranormal when you started doing these jobs. How does that make you feel about the afterlife, if you don't mind me asking?
Well, I mean, I definitely am more hopeful about it now. I mean, you just, as you're living, you just don't know what to expect or that there's anything to expect. Obviously, in religion, where we learn there's heaven and hell, but it's nice to have, I guess, proof. And seeing how people pass peacefully, it gives you proof that there's something else out there.
Right. Now, this segment is a little bit longer. So do you want to share something that you can take your time and walk through and tell us some of more experiences that you have, please?
Well, I guess we could kind of talk about when I was working in psych. A little background on the psychiatric facility I worked for. It was built in the late 1800s, back when psychiatric care wasn't what it is today.
Mm-hmm.
Patients did go there, and they lived there, and they died there, and they were treated with lobotomies and straitjackets, and they had a tuberculosis unit because tuberculosis hit really big, and people died of that. So the facility that I worked in, I can't even tell you how many thousands of people had probably died there.
Yeah,
I was working in a unit that was kind of a mixture of psychiatric illnesses, from schizophrenia to bipolar to different personality disorders. And I had a patient that relentlessly kept telling me there are bodies under this building. And I said, there is not bodies under this building. There's no way they would do that. I just knew that person was hallucinating that. They would tell me that the spirits were there. So I had mentioned it to one of the senior trainers in the building that trained all the nurses that came through. And she's like, oh yeah, there is bodies underneath that building. I said, oh my gosh, this patient just told me this. She's like, yeah, back when they built the building, they were too cheap to move the cemetery. That those patients didn't really have families, that none of the headstones have names on it. That's just a number. And to them, those bodies were just numbers. So they just moved the headstones and built the building on top. She's like, you'll notice that our cemetery, the headstones are perfectly in line because there's no bodies underneath them. They just put them there. And so I think that patient was probably seeing the spirits that were unhappy that their bodies were not moved, that our building was literally built on top. I don't know how else that patient would have known because it wasn't really public knowledge.
So
it was the truth.
Wow. So this other cemetery with the tombstones that are – it's just like a little it's kind of like we know that there's bodies nearby, so here's a fake one that kind of give the impression – that this is where they really are. Is that kind of what that is?
Yeah, like almost like they just moved the headstones. Like that was the memorial of that person. And they just moved the headstones. You can go to the facility and pull a book and look up the number. And it'll tell you the person's name and the age that they died and what they died of. But the headstone itself says like A21 or whatever the letter and the number is. And that was to coordinate with the building that they were in. And I don't know if the number is like what number death the person was that had died in that building. They just assigned a letter and a number, and that's what the headstone said.
That's sad.
It's very sad. And like I said, that patient, he knew, and that's the only way we could explain that he knew is that the spirits had to have told him, because none of us knew as employees that worked there. And we were all kind of blew him off, like, no, that's not true. That's a hallucination. And then come to find out, he was correct. There were bodies under the building.
It's also interesting, too, how, I mean, this is also a common theme that we find over time going to these locations that have been around a long time, that the sick who passed, who died, who don't have loved ones, that the disposal of their bodies is never, not always a great final resting place for them.
No, and like you said, they didn't even get a name. And I'm sure it had to do with cost effectiveness. I don't know if they just kind of put letters and numbers on headstones and then pulled it when they needed it.
Mm-hmm.
But it that's definitely how it was. And all of those buildings we had paranormal activity in, and they were old buildings. Like, we had a room that the light would come on randomly in the middle of the night. It would switch on, and doors that would open and close. And we had one room, any patient we put in there was agitated and angry, and you couldn't get them to calm down, to the point that if we could keep that room empty, we did, because we knew what we had ahead of us.
Oh, wow.
If we put them there.
Wow. And of course, as a paranormal investigator, my first thought is also like, I'd like to go in there.
I
would really like to go in there, please, if I may. Thank you. I mean, but, you know, that's because you never know what you're going to get. You never know what you're going to find. You know, someone, Annette, had put a question into the chat that she had was curious, had any of your patients ever come back as spirits and thank you in any way, such as maybe a symbol or something that made you think that was them and that they were just at least letting you know that they were around?
You know, I wish that had happened to me. It hasn't yet, but I'm still fairly new in the career. So maybe by the time I'm out of hospice, something like that will happen.
You know, I'm going through all the stuff that you had sent over to me. You had talked about one that was not as peaceful, that I thought was really, really interesting.
Yeah. The guy that I took care of, he was a convicted killer on hospice. He had been discharged from prison to come home and die. He really didn't have family. I think that the family that took him in really didn't want to, but they felt obligated to have him. They did not want to be present when he died. So we were sitting with him, and he had been comatose pretty much the entire time I had been there. I was not by any means afraid of him, but as he died, he sat straight up in bed, and with a look of horror in his face, screamed at the top of his lungs as he died. And it was like something bad had come to collect him. The way he looked, I've never seen anyone scream and look as scared as he did.
Because he looked at something in particular, right? Like the corner or something,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, the corner of the room, like something had came in.
Well, if that doesn't give you nightmares, I'm not sure what does. I mean,
it was really scary. I called an aide to come be with me until the coroner came, because I did not even want to be alone with his body. Because whatever had came, I did not want to be there by myself.
It's like, that doesn't sound like Jesus. But then again, maybe no. It is Jesus. You know what I mean? But, you know, I mean, it's just what a incredible situation. And that you've not seen anything like that since, right?
No, I haven't. That's the only time. And I hope I never have to again.
Well, and that's the thing about it too, right? That that it's not like it was somebody who just was living a life and then suddenly they just had this massive moment. It was somebody who is a convicted killer. And you know, the questions that come to my mind, which I'm not asking you, I know you can't answer these, okay. but the questions that come to my mind is like, was this like last minute guilt, like that, you know, you getting right? Or was it truly something that was just like, this is what's going to happen to you? I mean, what a crazy.
Well,
yeah.
I would think it was last minute guilt if he hadn't been so peaceful right before that. Like,
sure.
He was well, he didn't, you know, when you're in hospice, you look for signs and symptoms of pain to know when to give medicine. Like, I would have, if he had been in pain and restless, I might have thought something like that. But he was resting peacefully until then, and it was like he sat up straight in bed and screamed. I, at that point, like most people, there's no way they could even sit up in bed. But he did.
Wow. Now, being around and sitting next to them, have you ever actually seen anything leave their physical body?
I haven't seen anything actually leave, but you can almost, the person, once they, from the time they're alive to the time they pass, it almost, they look different once they die. Like they don't look like the same person. you can almost see like the essence leave by the way they look.
Right. Right. I mean, it's really bizarre. And I'm going to say that I was at a funeral, and when they were doing the prayer about the body is free to leave, or the soul's free to leave the body, something white left the body. And I will never forget it. And the person who was with me, they saw it too. We talked about it afterwards separately. We didn't point or look or anything. But, you know, it was just really like, okay, look at that. So that's really interesting. Why don't we do this? Let's take our last break. When we come back, we're going to finish our conversation about spirit and paranormal encounters at hospices and other medical facilities. You're listening to Ghost Box Radio on AM 950. You know, and I'd like to thank Robert Pilot for his continuing support of my show. And I'd just like to remind everyone to check out Native Roots Radio Network weekday 6 to 7 p.m. And listen to I'm Awake. He's a wonderful person. The show is wonderful. Talks about a lot of interesting and important topics. So please check it out weekday 6 to 7 p.m. Robert Pilot, listen to I'm Awake, and get informed, I guess, is really what that comes down to. For our final segment, we're talking with hospice caregiver who prefers to remain anonymous, and so far we've managed to do that, thank goodness. We're talking about hospice hauntings, spirit encounters, and when the soul leaves the body. And this has to me been really quite beautiful. I mean, of course, the last one we talked about with the gentleman who was a convicted killer, I mean, that's a bit off-putting. But I mean, that's also, you know, that there's so many questions that come along with that. You know, what else stands out for you that you've experienced that would be interesting to share with us?
I guess probably when I was working in a hospice house, we would go check on patients every 15 to 30 minutes to make sure they were okay and they didn't need anything. And I came in and one of my patients was sitting on the side of her bed, kind of plucking at the air. This is not unusual behavior for dying patients. Mm. Lots of people will see little floaters, they say, and they pluck in the air. And medical professionals will tell you that's because of low oxygen levels. However, this time I came in and I sat down with the patient and I said, "What are you doing?" And she looked at me and she says, "I'm petting the angel's wings." And she went on to plucking the air happily as she was when I came in. So wow. I sat there while she petted angel's wings. And then when she was done, I put her back, I helped her lay back down. But I thought that was kind of a neat thing to witness. I mean, even if it was a hallucination, which I'm tempted to believe it was not, but
that's pretty cool.
Yeah, that I thought that was pretty neat because I've seen hundreds of patients kind of pick at the air, but she's the first one to tell me she was petting angel's wings.
When you run into that, when you see someone petting the angel's wings or that their relatives are coming in, do they kind of seem almost maybe this isn't the right term, but like childlike in a way or innocent or like more? When I had seen it, it just felt like that, you know, that like when mom was doing it, it felt like that she saw herself as a little girl seeing her parents, not a 78-year-old woman, you know?
Sometimes yes and sometimes no. It just kind of depends on the patient. The lady petting the angel's wings, she had always been somewhat childlike since I had started taking care of her. She was a dementia patient. And so she kind of was childlike anyways. But sometimes I see them and they're having conversations just like their parents had never died, but they're mm-hmm. at their current.
Yeah, gosh. When you're at these facilities, and maybe it's not a full-on paranormal experience or something, do you get any feelings, though, that, you know, that there's somebody else with you? And I know that you did when that person was talking with Jesus or whatnot. But, you know, just walking around the halls or something, do you feel like that there's other entities there?
Well, it's kind of I wouldn't say a running joke, but a running saying that we say is that the other nurses will tell me that I can smell death because I'm pretty accurate on having a timeline of how close it is to someone to pass. And I don't know if that's just experience of being in this line of work for so long or if it is almost a sixth sense, but I can almost feel a heavy feeling when someone's going to pass. And I can, working in hospice now, I don't spend all day in the nursing homes, but I can almost walk into a nursing home and have a feeling that someone is getting ready to pass. Just I can feel a heaviness when mm-hmm. I come in. I don't know if that's a sixth sense or if it's just kind of something I've developed where I'm sensitive to that. Mm-hmm.
Now you said, you know, when you say that, I hope that doesn't mean that when like patients see you, they're like, oh my God, am I going to die? You know, I hope that that doesn't go that way or anything.
I don't think the patients know because I've never told the patients.
Oh, God, the bringer of death, you know.
I think it's just the other nurses and hospice nurses kind of have a sick sense of humor anyways. But
you have to, though, in a sense, don't you? I mean, you have to kind of keep it real, right?
Yeah, and you have to get through the day. And so sometimes what would be morbid to someone else when you work around death and you're around that all the time, you find the humor in things just to get through the day.
Do you ever say anything to people like outside of work that might be, I mean, cause I'm just generally a morbid person anyway. So, you know, whatever, but you know, do you ever say something to people who aren't, that they'd be like, whoa, oh wow. Okay.
I try really hard not to. I think part of that is the public service part of my job that I have to be careful, mind my P's and Q's when I talk, that I'm not so bad about it. But
yeah.
I know that you'll hear hospice nurses when someone's lingering and they've been close to dying but not dying say, are you going to go in and perform pillow therapy? Obviously, none of us are going to go in and suffocate anyone with a pillow. But that's kind of just a joke that you'll hear people say. I've never accidentally said that in front of a family or anything.
Of course not. We have less than a minute left, but I do want to ask you a quick question. Outside of the work, you said that you can, you know, you're starting to get, you know, feelings of spirit, whatnot. Do you ever feel that outside of work that's not pertaining to work, but just something in general?
I think so. I've been on a few events, like paranormal events.
Sure.
And I'll have that feeling before something happens, like before we capture anything. And I know I've done some overnights and I've waken up before other people, before Mel meters have gone off. And it's almost like I know it's going to go off and I'm headed in that direction when it goes off.
Okay.
So I've had stuff like that happen, but, yeah, so a little bit outside of work, I have that.
Okay.
But I don't know if it's any more than anyone else or if it's just luck.
Well, thank you very much. We're running out of time. This was amazing. I hope you felt good with all this, but thank you very much.
Oh, thank you.
All right. We're going to be back next week. Everyone, have a great week, and thank you for listening to Ghostbox Radio.